Good morning, good morning. Hi, guys. Hey, how's it going? No, I was out and about with my daughter yesterday, and it was so fun because we didn't go out to do anything fun necessarily. We actually went out to go get our oil changed. Because it's necessary, right? We're at that part and my car is beeping at me. So we went to go get that done, and what should only take about maybe an hour of my time took 5 hours of our time. But I say that because it was really fun to bring my daughter with me. Like, I'm glad that she jumped on the opportunity to go with me, because then that would have been like time by myself. But instead, I got to have her company. And we were talking together. I got to like fill her in on me, and she filled me in on her, and like the things that we haven't been able to catch up on yet. And it was just such a beautiful exchange. And so, but there was no agenda, you know, the only agenda was to get the oil changed. So I say that because I feel like today I would just want us to set aside any agendas. Like, I know we're coming here to, you know, meet with Papa, but like, just invite him into conversation with you. That allow worship to be a time to just give that exchange of, you know, Papa, this is my heart. What's your heart for today? And really just begin to just have a good time with him, you know, even among circumstances in our week that maybe haven't been the most fun. Like, getting an oil change is not fun. However, it was made more fun because my daughter was along with me. And so if we could continue, you know, be aware of Papa in that way and allow him to be with us in that way and give those exchanges, how much more fun can these day-to-day things become? So without further ado, if you guys will stand, I'd like to pray over service. And Jesus, we just welcome you in this place this morning. Papa, that you would have your way. God, that your presence would just be fall on us so tangibly, Lord. Yes, that our words, God, this morning would be sweet, sweet fragrance to you. God, this day is for you, Lord. Everything that we've all the sacrifices made to get here today, Father, is to be with you. Lord, I thank you for showing up. I thank you for being constant, even when I'm not. Lord, you're faithful. You're amazing. You're matchless in every way. And I just commence this worship service into your name. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand.
Yeah.
everything around me shaking. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. 'Cause He's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would He fail now? He won't. Something that Jesus has been saying, give to me, son, give to me, daughter. Lay it down today. Lay down the worry, lay down the anxiety, lay down the stress, lay down the strife. We serve a God that's faithful, not a God that gives us lofty dreams and ideas just to get us excited, but a God that actually does what He says. We thank You, God, that You're never failing. You're always faithful.
Never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up. Never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up. Never runs out on me. Your love never.
trust with your marriage and your finances. He can trust with it all. He'll never fail. No, he'll never fail. It's not in his character to fail. He'll never fail. No, he'll never fail. Thank you. Kid being lost and in the middle of a crowd of people, and I get this picture of what I would look like as a parent to see my little Tegan in a crowd of people. I don't know about you guys, but if I saw my son and I needed to get to him, I wouldn't be nice about it, right? Like I would push through that crowd of people to get to my son. I would nudge people. And I just, this is perfect depiction of this song. There's no wall you won't kick down. You know, there's no lie you won't tear down. There's no shadow you won't light up. Mountain you won't climb up. There's these, there's no limit to how God will pursue us. Maybe you haven't felt pursued recently by the Father, but he's reminding you this morning, son, daughter, there's nothing I wouldn't do to get to you. I would push through the crowd just for you. I would nudge the people just to get to you. I'd tear down walls to get to you, climb any mountain to get to you. This is a song that the Lord is singing over his children today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing one more time. Shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me, I'm your beloved. This word reckless may sound like a bad way to depict your love for us. I think it's perfect because it's unapologetic. It's not always pretty. It's not always fancy looking or whatever, but it's you pursuing us. God, I just pray for the hearts in this place today, that our hearts would feel pursued by you. I pray for those who don't feel pursued by the Father right now, Lord, that you would just bask them with your presence. Right now, you would just put a reminder in their mind of who you are and who you call them to be. Who you are them and who they are to you. That you're an all-loving Father that never stops, and that they are your son or your daughter that doesn't have to do anything to be their son, to be the son or daughter. We just have to be, and we're your son, we're your daughter. Thank you, Father. God's people said, amen, amen. Okay, let's take a moment to greet one another and get some coffee. In Jesus' name.
Good morning. Good morning, good morning, One Life. How are you guys doing this morning? Yeah? Worship was powerful, right? Oh, man. I love it when God shows up. So I guess if you guys will stand with me one more time, we're going to get ready to do our declarations. And when it comes to declarations, it's not just speaking out. It's actually standing steadfast. We talked with our students about this week, about being planted and firm in what it is that you're believing in and standing for. And we withstand against the schemes of the enemy, right? And it says it like four times in the scripture, to stand or to withstand. And withstand is not just standing against, it's to actually vigorously, steadfastly plant your feet and make sure that you are ready for the next move. And so when we do this, I want us to have that same frame of mind. Like, when we make declarations, it's like we're taking on that authority that God's given us as his children. We are heirs of the throne, right? So we are kings and queens, princesses and princes, and it is our duty to be ambassadors for the Lord, to bring forth the work that he wants to see done. But there's an authority that needs to come with that. And so I want to hear you guys, like, you are on that battlefield ready, like with your armor on and ready to go. And we're going to speak this out like it is meant to happen in Jesus' name. All right. Okay. So, all right, let's go. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things, and I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen.
Woo! Awesome.
Check, check, check. Love it. So I think we only have one announcement. I believe it's the backyard barbecue or worship night. There's no barbecue. Do you have it? There it is. So this will be at our house. I'll send out the address for those of you who don't know this upcoming week. And this is going to be our last one of the summer. And then we'll most likely move into something else in the fall. But these are great nights. These are fun nights to just come and worship in our backyard. Nothing too fancy, just Jesus and the backyard. And then thank you for giving. Thank you those who sow into this house for what we're doing here in Yakima. And you can give in our offering boxes as well as online for those of you who don't know that. So we had an amazing time this week. We had we hung out with 8 of our youth students. We did an internship called Pursuit, and it was far more powerful than I even could anticipate. Yeah, he's getting heavy. yeah, and so. So the vision was is to give the students that wanted to time to go deeper with the Lord. And so I didn't force anybody to do it. Maybe some of them, I twisted their arm just a little bit. But for the most part, I just said, hey, this is what we're doing. If you want to sign up, let me know. And we ended up, at first we had like 4, and then 5, and then by the end of it, we had 8, which is most of our youth group. And it was a week. It was a great week, Monday through Friday. And my most favorite time of the time we had together, the 4 hours we were together, was the prayer time. And mainly because Holy Spirit would just take over. And, you know, you guys want to see some students that are excited, not just excited, but willing to be used by the Lord. This week was that. And it far surpassed like my expectation. Because it was our first one, I just had kind of a skeleton schedule and then went into every day with just like, all right, Lord, this is the slots that we have, and you put there what you want to put there. And I'm going to invite our students that we have 4 of them that are here. And I want them just kind of share a brief, you can come up, a brief moment of what you got out of the week. And yeah, it was, you know, again, this isn't this. I told these kids as they showed up on, can you guys come? I think you guys are in the camera. Yeah, right there. It's fine. You can go stand on that side. I told them that this isn't youth group. I looked at them on Monday and I said, this isn't youth group. Even though you guys are youth students, this is not youth group. I'm actually going to teach you guys I'm going to treat you guys like leaders. And so, because when I speak to, when I preach to people versus when I talk to leaders, it's two different things. And so it was really good. I think it was really good. I had fun and, I was exhausted by the end of it. But anyways, so why don't we just go down? And if you guys have, something that, something that was impactful. Well, just tell me one thing that was impactful about this week.
For me, we tackled prophecy and getting prophetic words for each other. And every word that I got was very significant to something that I needed to hear and things that I was struggling with, just God reassuring me. Specifically, one that we did was in one of our sessions, we wrote down something on a piece of paper, a word that we got. It wasn't for anyone specific, but it was just what God gave you. And then we folded it up and we handed it out at random. My dad shuffled them out. And the word that I got was exactly what I needed to hear in that moment. And I broke down because, God had spoken through one of the students to speak to me. And it was really powerful.
I would say the prophetic words as well, because it was just really impactful. You know, you learned how to trust God, and you know, just even if it was something stupid, or that you may have thought was stupid, you know, why did I get orange, you know? Yeah. Why did I get the word orange, you know? Like, someone's like, I'm gonna eat an orange for lunch later, you know? But who knows, you know?
Yeah, I have to agree. The whole prayer time was amazing, especially with the prophetic words and everything. One major takeaway for me was learning how to share my testimony well, so just my testimony of how I came to Jesus and everything. We really focused on that, so that way then if we ever came in contact with somebody that needed to find Christ but they didn't know any practical steps to take, we could kind of this is how I did it. This is my story. This is how God found me and I found him. So
in prayer, we did healings, and God just showed me what to do and how to do it and just how amazing it is and just how amazing it was.
Okay, so I think you guys know what's next. We're going to take 30 seconds, and I want you guys just to get quiet. And when I tell you guys that this week we prophesied every day, it happened. And that wasn't what I was planning. That wasn't what I was like, oh, we're going to do this. What's funny is I told these kids, is like, I spent thousands and thousands of dollars to learn how to do this. You guys spent $20 and got basically in a week, got everything we got in 3 years. So we'll take 30 seconds. I want you guys just to get quiet. Try to, not try, but get a word. And if somebody's highlighted to you, we're going to give them those words, okay? So ready? 30 seconds and go. Okay, who wants to go first?
I got a word from me, Mom. I saw your name, and I got a vision of a baby deer, a doe, and it was wounded. Its leg was hurt, and it was laying there on the ground, and it was helpless. But you came over, and all you had to do was kneel beside it, and you held its head to your chest. And as soon as that happened, the leg was healed. And the pain was gone, and everything was gone. And, yeah, so that's what I saw.
I didn't get anything, if I'm being real, but it's true.
All right, so I didn't get this for anybody specific, but you know who you are. I felt from the Lord that somebody here or somebody knows somebody that needs to find Christ. Now, God told me that it's either they just haven't found Jesus yet or they're struggling with other beliefs, and he just wants you to know that he's got them. He's got you. During worship today, how we were singing about how God would tear down every wall to get to his children, and that they are his beloved. That's just what God wants you to know, that he's coming for you. So
I got a word for Alex, and it was that you keep pushing with God, then he will reward you with like Holy Spirit and Jesus and everything you need.
Come on. Give it up for these guys. That's powerful. You guys can take a seat. Thank you, guys. So that was just a glance into how we operated this week. But again, to, you know, these students impressed me. They really did. Yes, Katie. Yeah. Please. Yeah, Katie and Noah have stepped in as some youth help, youth leaders, and they were there for a few of the days. And they're amazing. Yes.
So Noah, like I said, Noah and I have been helping since the beginning of the month, been going to the youth group. We only got to go for 2 full days this week just because we have work in our schedules and stuff. But the first day on Monday, like Eric said, we went into the prayer room and we didn't really know what to expect. And God showed up that day, the very first day, the very first thing that we did. And it was so amazing seeing these kids praying for each other. And it was so cool. And then on Thursday, Noah and I got to go again because I have Thursdays off. And we did the prophetic words for each other. And that was so powerful. The students don't know Noah too well. You know, I've grown up in this church and stuff, so I know. But they had words for him, and like everything just lined up with everything that we were kind of going through and thinking about. And even for myself, like, oh my, it was so powerful. You guys, like, I wish everyone was there, because you felt the Holy Spirit there through each of these kids. God was working through each of these kids. Like, I had an injured knee, and literally they prayed for my knee, and like all, it was gone. Like, literally our God heals, and he's working through these students. And yeah, it was just amazing. Oh yeah. It's awesome. And Eric's not just this crazy youth pastor that keeps saying his kids are great and all this and that, because we witnessed that. So
yes, things are happening. I promise you, things are happening. Thank you, Katie, for sharing. Yeah, it was really cool. Just some highlight. That was definitely a highlight, because Monday, it was interesting, because Monday I had, you know, a full team with me there. Nancy was there, and Katie and Noah were there. And then Tuesday and Wednesday, it was just me, which was fine. But it was, you know, I was kind of like going through it by myself. And so they missed those 2 days. And when they came back Thursday, I was like, oh, let's show them what's been happening. And so all the kids prophesied over these guys, including myself. And then, they prayed for Katie and her knee. You know, she had pain. She said it would get to a level 7 in pain. And then at the end, she's like, it's gone. And so, I mean, like, that's there's no junior Holy Spirit. Amen. Like, they didn't need to go through some crazy, you know, thing to get there. They just started tapping into it, and they were obedient. And that's really what God's looking for. On Thursday as well, we went and we did what's called a treasure hunt, where we spent some time praying, and praying for the Lord to give us, to highlight things to us, to highlight, you know, it could be items of clothing. It could be a person with a blue hat, a person with a black shirt, and so forth. And then we wrote those down. And then we went out and looked for our quote-unquote treasures. And not everybody found, you know, people to pray for. However, the cool thing was that our students were taking risks. And that's the biggest thing. And you guys have probably heard me say that multiple times, is that's what faith is. Faith is risk, right? Like, if you want to know, if you ever ask your question, like, am I actually exercising my faith? Well, the greater question is, well, where am I taking risk at? Like, what part of my life is actually, am I taking risks in? And so it was great. I'm excited to continue doing it. And I feel like today's service is just that, is a risk. I've been talking the last couple of weeks about this stinking thinking thought. I've been having a lot of fun, preaching that message and whatnot. But I really felt like this morning, especially because I was trying to kind of button up my scriptures and everything last night, and I just was unsettled. Like, I wasn't able to kind of, I was up late, and I just wasn't able to, like, I was like, am I just not, why am I not able to focus right now? And so even this morning, I got up early and I was here early at the church, and, you know, brought my computer and everything. And I was like, I'm not getting anything like going. And I really felt like the Lord was saying, I want to do something different today. And every Sunday we submit to the Lord, but I always want to make sure that anytime the Lord says that, no matter how much time I spend on a sermon, no matter how much, you know, how funny my stories are or anything like that, that I fully submit it to the Lord. Like, that's what I want our Sundays to be, is make sure even that on Sunday or the worship side of it is, I plan the songs and we have the songs, and most of the time these are like songs we love to do. We can't wait to do them. But if the Lord comes in and says, I want you to do this, that's what we're going to do. And so here's what's on my heart is I want to be obedient to Holy Spirit. And I want to start by reading this encounter. Most of us have heard this story. It's when the Holy Spirit dropped on the day of Pentecost. I don't have any slides or anything like that because, again, this all was from this morning. But I'm going to be reading in Acts 2. And it says this, starting in verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they being the disciples, were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, again, I like to, when I read the Bible especially, I like to put myself in that moment. Now, on this particular day, we're looking at almost probably about 50 days from the day that Jesus had died and resurrected, and so that happens. Jesus is resurrected. They get to hang with him for an additional 40 days, and then he leaves. Now, Jesus had already told them that Holy Spirit's coming. Did they know what that meant? I don't know, but I'm assuming they didn't, because a lot of times Jesus would say things and the disciples were like, I don't understand what you're saying. But they knew something was going to come. Again, putting myself in the story, if I had just watched Jesus and what happened to him on the cross, him get crucified and get beaten, the whole thing, I would be a little bit scared in that moment. And I believe this is where the disciples were. Jesus comes back. He hangs with them 40 days, and then he leaves to heaven. Now, it wasn't the next day Holy Spirit came. It wasn't the day after that Holy Spirit came. It wasn't the next day. They had to wait 10 days before they saw anything happen. 10 days. Now, again, imagine you're in this moment. You saw Jesus. You saw what could happen to the people that follow Jesus. And I can only think that if I were in their shoes, I'd be thinking that I'm next. That's going to happen to me. And for some of them, you know, a lot of them were martyred. But nonetheless, they had to wait on the Lord. And I can't emphasize this enough. It's so important that we wait on the Lord. We know how to wait, and we know the timing of the Lord. I had the students come up here and I gave them 30 seconds. When I first did that, I gave them a minute. And then I was like, you know what? No, we're just going to do 30 seconds. And it doesn't mean that, you know, the Lord just needs a second. What he needs is for us to be obedient. What he needs is for us to learn how to wait on him in these moments. Despite fear, despite anxiety, despite worry, and trust that when Holy Spirit comes, that it is him, and he's looking for us to obey. He's looking for us to listen in that moment. These kids, what was so impressive about them this week is that they were willing. It wasn't that their words were perfect. It wasn't that they said all the right words. None of that. What was most impressive is that they were willing. That's where I felt like the Lord was high-fiving in heaven, was because they were willing. It wasn't that the words were so accurate. They were like, wow, like some of them really were. But it was ultimately is that they were willing. So are you willing? When Holy Spirit drops on you, when he falls on you and he speaks to you something or anything, are you willing? And are you waiting? I want to read this next part in the Passion Translation. And this is still in Acts in 2, verse 14. I just love how he says it, because Peter addressed it. And remember, Peter was the one who denied Jesus the three times. Um, this is not it. This is the message. Okay, so this is Acts 2, verse 14. It says, Peter stood up with the 11 apostles because they were speaking in tongues. People were freaking out. People were like, how are they speaking my language? How they think they're drunk. And so verse 14, it says, Peter stood up with the 11 apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, my fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. You need to clearly understand what's happening here. You need to clearly understand what's happening here. My encouragement to you, church, is that anytime we're listening to Jesus, we would take a moment and try to make sure that we're clearly understanding what's happening. We're not just bypassing it. We're not just like, oh, this is another moment. Okay, great, you know. But we're actually pausing and taking the time to hear and to listen, not just hear, but listen to what Jesus is saying and what he's wanting us to do. I just love that. Love the verbiage here. You need to clearly understand. Don't just see what's happening and make a judgment, but clearly understand what's happening here. These people are not drunk like you think they are, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is the fulfillment of what was prophesied through the prophet Joel. For God says, this is what I will do in the last days. I will pour out my spirit on everybody and cause your sons and daughters to prophesy. And your young men will see visions and your old men will experience dreams from God. The Holy Spirit will come upon all my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. I will reveal startling signs and wonders in the sky above, mighty miracles on the earth below. Blood and fire and pillars of clouds will appear, for the sun will be turned dark and the moon blood red before the great and awesome appearance of the day of the Lord. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Peter continued, people of Israel, listen to the facts. Jesus the victorious was a man on a divine mission whose authority was clearly proven. For you know how God performed many powerful miracles, signs, and wonders through him. That this man's destiny was prearranged. For God knew that Jesus would be handed over to you to be crucified and that you would execute him on a cross by the hands of a lawless man. Yet it was all a part of his predetermined plan. God destroyed the cords of death and raised him up because it was impossible for death's power to hold him prisoner. So good. I can keep going and going. It's so good. And what follows this is now we get to see Peter. Again, Peter, who was the one who denied Jesus. Peter, who was the one that was like, gung-ho, Jesus, we're going to go change the world. The one that was like cutting off ears when Jesus was like, no, it's not the time to do that. And he was the one who denied Jesus. And now we see Peter preaching. And to follow this in the next chapter is when we see Peter healing the man at the gate. And so what's the point? Holy Spirit wants to do something today. Holy Spirit wants to move in our lives. How many of you guys want a touch from Holy Spirit today? Okay? God highlighted a couple things, and here's what I'll say, because I know this is kind of the culture of this church, is that if you have something laid on your heart, I want you to be brave and be courageous and come up and share, because I just believe God's going to begin speaking to you even right now. I did this last week, and I really felt it pressed on my heart again today, was to pray for marriages, to pray for marriages. Again, I know about two marriages of people who are Christian, people who love Jesus, and their marriages are struggling. They're on the brink of separation or divorce. And I've heard many other, stories of marriages in the church that have broken apart. And I just want to make sure that the marriages in this house are covered, and that we're not just, no matter whether you've been married for 20 years, you've been married for, a year or whatever, that God, you're making sure that the marriage covenant is protected. Okay. So I want to read this verse, and then I want to pray. It says, Genesis 2:18, this is when God was forming the earth and all this stuff. He had already formed the earth. So then the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. Married couples, your spouse is your helper. Your spouse is the one that was perfectly formed for you. All right? Perfectly formed for you. Renew your vows every day. Now, hear me when I say this. I'm not saying every day you have to have a big ceremony. That's not what I'm saying. However, make sure your heart is yes to your spouse every morning. There's an intentional yes that takes place when you wake up. Protect your marriage. Keep it precious. It's amazing to me, again, when I see, I've seen houses that are immaculate, that are taken care of. They have all the finest furniture and all the kitchen is great and clean, and all the couches are new and the cars are new and the driveway and everything, but their marriage is in shambles. Like, let's make sure our priorities are in the right place. I'm not saying it's bad to have nice things. I want nice things. I like nice things. But what saddens me when I see marriages where everything on the outside seems perfect, but on the inside, where the things that really matter, I'd much rather live in a shack and have a great marriage than live in a mansion and be in discord with my wife. Like, I mean, and hear me when I say this, you guys. I like nice things, okay? I do. I do. But I would much rather that be our life than us, you know, have everything on the outside seem great and we're not on the same page. It just isn't worth it to me, okay? So here's what I want to do. I want to pray for marriages. So if you're married, whether your spouse is here today or not, I want you to stand up with your spouse if he or she is here. And if they're not here, they're here in spirit, okay? And I'm just going to pray. And this is a moment that not just a prayer, this isn't just another word that I'm throwing out in the atmosphere, but this is actually something that I want to pray covering over your marriage, because I know that God blesses the covenant. So God, I thank you right now for every marriage represented in this place. I thank you, Jesus. You come here, wife. I thank you, Jesus, for the covenants that are in this home, Lord, in this house, Lord. The marriage, the yes that was made years ago to one another, God, that these marriages would be protected. And I just pray a covering right now over every single marriage in this house. God, every single marriage, God, I pray that you would protect them, God. Lord, I pray for areas, Lord, that have been points of tension for years right now, Lord, that you would resolve those things, God. I pray for unforgiveness right now to be taken away. God, I pray, Lord, that these couples would forgive each other for hurts that have been in the past, whether it be past actions or past words, God. I pray right now, Lord, that you would continue knitting the heart together, Lord, and that we as married couples would never take our foot off the gas pedal for our marriage, for our spouse, but we would actually even go to another gear in our marriage, that we would continue learning our spouse. We would continue going to deeper levels with our spouse. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for these marriages. I bless them, God. And any schemes of the enemy, we rebuke it in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, that your hand is over these marriages. We just bless it right now in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. You can take your seat. I'm going to read this last verse about marriages, because this is a famous verse that churches like to read, especially when they're talking about marriages. And it says, this is Ephesians 5:22. It says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. That's all I'm going to read, because I'm just kidding. No, I'm going to read it all. So this is Ephesians 5:22. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands as the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Now, let me point something out real quick. This is three verses. This is three verses that we're getting told, that wives are getting told, okay? Husbands, pay attention, because we get about nine, all right? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Who can tell me what Christ did for the church? He died for the church. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. Right off the bat, we get even a greater mandate over our lives as husbands. as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Again, because we are members of his body, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. There's so much that the husband gets. I'd encourage you husbands to go home and just read this Ephesians 5:22 through 33, because there's such a responsibility we have. Yes, do we want our spouse to submit? Do we want our wives to come under authority? Oh, Lord, please let that happen. Also, I need to make sure I have my stuff in order before I even expect her to submit to anything. Because what am I expecting her to submit to if I don't have my stuff in order, right? What am I expecting my wife to submit to if I'm not going to lead my house in a certain way? Because that's the mandate on my life. Is I need to love my wife like Christ loved the church. Again, Christ died for the church. See, he loved the body so much. So it's a great mandate. Okay, the second thing I want to go after is this. I felt like the Lord put it on my heart to pray against stress and anxiety. Stress and anxiety. Stress and anxiety are putting faith in the wrong source. When you walk around and you define yourself as a stressful person or an anxious person, that means you have taken the Lord out of the God spot and you've put something else there in that spot. Okay? Stress and anxiety is when you're putting faith in the wrong source. You are not an anxious person. It's not your identity. I need somebody to hear that today. You are not an anxious person. It is not your identity. You may have anxiety. You may have anxiety about X, Y, and Z. You may have anxiety about your job or your future or whatever. You fill in the blank. I've dealt with it. I still deal with it. But don't define yourself as an anxious person, because that's not how God sees you. God doesn't speak to you in anxiety. He doesn't speak to you in shame. He doesn't speak to you in fear. Philippians 4:6. This is in the message. It says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. You guys, I don't know if you guys recall this. I actually was planning to talk about this today during my sermon. I'll probably bring it up next week. But the God spot. Do you guys remember the God spot when I talked about that? There was a circle, and in the middle was God. And then there was another circle after that, and that was where our families are, our wives are, our kids are. And then another circle would be, our coworkers, people that are acquaintances. And then another, and it would just get further and further. And then way out of the circle is celebrities, people you don't know, Tom Cruise, all those people, right? But the main point was the circle in the middle with God, because a lot of times what happens, especially when we deal with anxiety, is God is in the God spot. That's the place for God. That's your heart. God is in that spot. What happens when we partner with anxiety is we take God out of the God spot and we put ourselves there, because I have the right answer. I have the right, I know what I'm supposed to do. I know how to handle the situation. And we take God out of the spot that he was only meant to fill. There's many things that can fill that spot. There's only one person that can fulfill that spot, and that is Jesus. Okay? We all have a God spot, each and every one of us. And the question is God in the appropriate spot? Because what happens is, and I'll have like a picture of it next week so we could better, you know, see it. But what happens is it's not that we move God completely out, but we put him in another outer circle. And we put him like, oh, he's, yeah, God's important, but he's like important, you know, three levels removed important, right? I wanted to read Philippians 4:6 in another translation. This is in the NIV. It says, do not be anxious. I'm going to back up. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do not be anxious about anything. What does anything mean? Anything. But what about my, you know, what about my family? Don't be anxious about anything. What about my marriage? Don't be anxious about anything. But what about my job? It's pretty plain. Don't be anxious about anything. And I get it. That's easier said than done. I'm telling you guys up here, that's easier said than done. Okay? But I want to go after this. I feel like the Lord wants to break off anxiety because I feel like it's more than just people being stressed out about situations. I feel like there might be people here that you may walk around anxious. Like, it's not just one situation. It's actually anxiety. Like, your life is surrounded by anxiety. So if that's you, would you stand? And I just want to pray for you. If you feel like you're you've identified yourself as an anxious person. So this is what I want you to do. You guys can stay where you're at. I want you to just put your hands out like you're receiving a gift. Okay? You're receiving a gift. And I feel like right now the Lord's going to replace the anxiety that you're feeling with something else, with his joy, with his rejoice. Jesus, I pray right now for your son. I pray right now for your daughters, God, and I rebuke anxiety in Jesus' name because your word says that I should be anxious about nothing. There's nothing that I should be anxious about. So right now, God, I just release, Lord, a spirit of peace in this place. I release a spirit of peace over situations that may be plaguing their minds, circumstances that may be plaguing their minds, things that are out of their control, God. I just release right now a spirit of peace over their lives. And God, I thank you that when we walk with you, we walk with peace. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. For those of you who are standing, I just want you to envision the thing or the things that you've been anxious about. And when you have it, when you have those things in your mind, I want you to envision yourself grabbing those things and handing them to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Don't leave anything behind. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And after you hand those to Jesus, I want you to envision Jesus, if you can. Envision what he looks like. Envision, you know, his face. Envision his hair. Envision his eyes. Envision everything about him. And I see Jesus handing you something back. Not something that you handed him, but handing you something different back. And that's between you and the Lord. I'm not going to ask you to share that or anything like that. But I believe Jesus right now is giving you something back. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's nothing we have to be anxious for. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can take a seat if you would like. Here's the thing, is the second you let go of something like anxiety, it's now your intentional job to not pick that back up again. I would love it if the way prayer worked, like it was just a magic potion that we pray for anxiety and then you just never feel anxious anymore. I would love that. However, what generally happens is we pray for peace, or we pray for no anxiety, and then situations arise where we could be anxious. And now we have a moment to put into practice what we just, the exchange we made with the Lord. So how do we walk an anxiety-free life? We make sure that our mind is renewed, like we've been talking about the last few weeks. We make sure that we remember the truths of the word, of what Jesus spoke to us. And we don't identify ourselves as anxious. We don't identify ourselves as fearful. We don't identify ourselves as these things. Are these feelings real? Absolutely. I'm not saying ignore your feelings, but making sure that we don't allow those feelings to become our identity. Because you're not your feelings. Do you guys remember, I mean, some of you are teenagers, but do you remember being a teenager? Like, can you imagine if you identified yourself as your feelings when you're a teenager? Can you imagine? Like, they go through 20 emotions in half an hour, right? You're not your feelings. You're not your emotions. You have emotions, you have feelings, but those aren't your identity. So I'm believing that anxiety is leaving this place. I'm believing that anxiety is leaving his sons and daughters today. Yeah. Amen? Does anybody have anything? Come on, Mom.
So y'all may have heard me say this before. You know, we all say don't pray for patience because, you know, God makes us be patient. You know, the test of patience happens a lot. But if you think about it this way, when we're talking about don't be anxious, or we're praying for freedom from anxiety and freedom from stresses and freedom from anger, well, God, if he just magically does it like a potion, then we're not going to grow. We're not going to grow. So he gives us opportunities to not be anxious. He gives us opportunities to be patient. He gives us opportunities to not be stressed, that the stresses are going to come, but he's giving us the opportunity to give it to him. And so we can grow in him and our strength in him and his strength in us. So that's why it's not the magic potion. And so we need to remember that when it comes. And let me tell you, I can be strong all day long, I think. But when I go to sleep at night, that's when the enemy comes at me. And he steals my sleep sometimes. So that's when we have to wake up and pray. And he's like, okay, Lord, I'm not going to receive this. Cover my mind. Protect my mind while I sleep. A hedge of protection. And husbands, pray that over your families. And for those of you who don't have husbands, pray it over yourself and pray it over your families. But remember, what we're going to go through is going to grow us. God's just going to give us opportunity for each and everything that we're dealing with. He's teaching us to let it go.
So good. Yeah, and that's so good, Mom. Thank you for sharing that. I just want to read this real quick. I was reminded of James 1:2, and this is what I'll end with. It says, consider it pure joy. Isn't God so funny? Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials. Consider it pure joy. I say it again and again because it sounds like a ridiculous statement, but it's kingdom. Consider it joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. It grows you. So Jesus, I thank you for growing us. I thank you for giving us opportunity to grow. God, I thank you for those who said, yes, I want to go the extra, get better in my marriage. That I want to go the extra step, go the extra mile in my marriage. God, I thank you for those who said, I want to get freedom from anxiety. God, I thank you so much. I thank you that you're constantly growing us all the time. God, I just release right now. I release right now your goodness, Lord, over this place. I release identity into this place, God. Lord, that those who are struggling with their identity, who maybe don't fully know you, you would begin to speak to them. And I thank you so much, Jesus, for who you are. I thank you, Lord, that we are sons, and we are daughters, and that we do walk in freedom, God, and that when trials hit us, God, that we get to stand victorious with you because we're on the winning side. So I thank you for all of this in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. I love you guys. You're amazing. You guys get one more week of me, and then our pastors are back. So, all right. You guys have a great week, and we'll see you guys next week. All right. Straight.